What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
Show, here we are. We have him, Florida State Seminoles head coach Luke Locks, who's on the Boss Man Show. Luke, see you, man. How do you down there in Tallahassee, man?
Man, life is good in Tallahassee. When I'm here, I've been on the road, baby. The July recruiting schedule, the whole summer has been intense. We're recruiting a lot of good kids, you know, across the whole country. Obviously, as we build the program, we want to focus on the South. We want to focus on Florida and Georgia. There's a lot of good players coming up. So our staff's done an incredible job putting me in the places I need to go. Went overseas twice to see some action over there. Saw the USA team win the World Cup, which was pretty cool. We're recruiting a lot of those kids. And then on top of that, you know, fundraising, you know, that's the name of the game. If you don't have the dough, you're not going to get far. So, you know, going to have, you know, dinners and coffees and lunches and breakfasts and everything in between with our donors, that have given and continue to give and help our program build. And then on top of that, we've had our boys in town. So, I feel like I'm working three or four jobs at once, but, I'm super grateful, man. I'm super grateful to be here in Tallahassee to lead a program I once played for, and to hopefully get us to a level of competition where, we're a national contender every year.
All right, Luke, let me ask you this, man. How would you assess year one for yourself? You know, you got 18 wins in year one. You know, you competed like heck every night. So how would you assess year one? How have you grown from the win talk last year to now?
Yeah, I'm not really big on like preseason rankings, but to be picked 18th in the conference by a lot of national pundits, I think the highest we were picked was 15th, and to finish tied for 7th, you know, I just overachieving expectations in year one, I think was really good for us. I think it was really good for me to go through some of the really low. I mean, at one point, I think we lost 8 out of 10 games early on in the season. And then we turned it around, and a big credit to our staff. Again, a big credit to the roster to not drop the rope, to continue to fight, to continue to develop and get better. I think we won 10 of our last 13 games, took Duke to a last second shot. And with our momentum, and I know every coach lives in delusional land, but I really think we would have won the ACC championship had that shot gone in against Duke. I mean, we had more momentum than anyone in the conference. We were playing our best basketball at the end of the year. So just year one, you know, I always want to make the NCAA tournament. I always want to win the ACC. Those two goals will always remain as long as I'm the head coach here at Florida State. So from that aspect, we came up short. But with the resources we had and putting the team together very quickly, from the time I got the job to the time the portal opened, I like the foundation we set. I like the fact that I made a lot of mistakes, and I got an opportunity as a first time head coach to learn from them. It was my first time coaching in college, so I had to get my feet under me there. And for about half of our staff, we were all coming down from the NBA. So from that aspect and what we're trying to build, especially over the next few years and then long term, I thought it was really good for us to go through some tough times early on, and some times where we had to reassess and reevaluate what we were doing and make sure it was right for this level. But also, I felt like, and I preach this to all of our recruits, we have a heavy emphasis on player development. I'm a firm believer the better your players are, the better coaches it makes us. And I know a lot of coaches that doesn't make sense to them, but like if the Joes can go out and get buckets for you, you're going to look like a really good coach. And I thought over the course of the year, we never let up on our development of our guys. And it showed up in the second half of the season. Our guys, a lot of them were transferring up from low and mid majors to the high major level, and they had to get better. And over the course of the year, you know, I thought our staff did an incredible job and the guys did an incredible job just working. Didn't matter win, loss, you come in the next day and work. And those results showed up at the end of the season.
Something I very much value in a coach and in a team, seeing a team get better throughout the year. Like, you had those tough struggles and you got better. And I know if you had that shot and not come, you had that moment. I felt the same way because I saw you getting better. And as a first year head coach at the high major level, to have your guys get better the way you did speaks to what your staff did. I was really impressed with that because I know that's really a telltale sign for me if a team is really on point, if they're getting better in February into March.
I appreciate it. And that's one of our talked before we were on live here about some of our team values that we live by. And one of them is a competitive spirit. And I thought our competitive spirit got a lot better as the year went on too. You know, we might not always have the best talent in the world. You know, we might have nights where we can't make a shot. I think the ultimate equalizer and really in any sport, but especially in basketball, if you just compete your behind off and give ultimate effort, and then on top of that, do it together and put the team first. Those two things will even out a lot of discrepancies. And I think as the year went on, our guys started really believing in that. Like, listen, man, if shots go in, they might not go in. They go in sometimes. You might win by 20. But if you just compete at the highest level and outwork people, you're going to have a chance in every game. And even some of those games as the year went on that we lost and came up short. I mean, we lost by 3 to Virginia. They were a top 10 team. We didn't score. We didn't hit a field goal in the last 5 minutes of the game. We hit a couple free throws. We couldn't score the ball. And we still only lost by 3 points to a top 10 team in the country. And same thing with Duke. I think we put more points on Duke than any other team in the country twice. Like, we had 2 of the top 3 scoring totals against Duke. But to me, we were in those games because we were competing with them, you know, and saying like out of the last 3 games we lost, they were all against really good teams and they were dogfights. And that was a difference from early on in the season where we were on the poor hand of some blowouts. And it just didn't sit right with me because I get it. Some nights you just don't have it. But for a lot of it, if you just lace them up and give everything you got and you work like it's the last game you're ever going to play, generally, all of a sudden, some people call it luck. Generally, things just start working out for you. And I think our team really bonded over that, especially as the year went on, which, again, you know, showed up in the win-loss column.
And Luke, it also speaks to just individuals' mindset and many individuals' spirit, because I know me personally, I wasn't the best at basketball. I'm better at football.
Yep.
But being able to compete in this hustle and know my assignments, know how to get on the floor and dive, using my football skills on the basketball court and being able to shoot a corner three, I got minutes because I don't have time to make me have the greatest handle in the world. I had to do it the other way to get on the court. So I know from my personal experience that, hey, if you just be game-playing discipline, have that competitive spirit, that mindset, you be in a rotation and kind of have impact just by playing hard and being competitive and knowing where you need to be at all times.
No question. Hey, you just talking about it, you remind me of Jimmy Graham. We used to play them. Jimmy Graham played for University of Miami on the basketball team before he went to the NFL. And he just gave all out effort, and he set the hardest screens. He would always rebound. He was the best teammate. And those Miami teams were really good because of it. And he didn't have a ton of skill. He wasn't scoring 20 a game. But he went out there and did his job and knew his role. And then obviously he showed it on the football field in the NFL and had a Hall of Fame career, you know, one of the best tight ends in the history of the NFL. But you could see that mentality on the basketball court for University of Miami. When we used to play those guys, he would set the hardest screens. He would crack you and wake you up. And I'm like, man, who is that? And 3 years later, he's an all pro tight end in the NFL. But our guy, a lot of our guys, we try to recruit, have similar mentalities to what you were just saying. A lot of them got a chip on their shoulder. They're all talented. They if they weren't talented, they wouldn't be playing here. But I enjoy coaching guys that have a little something extra to them, you know, and it doesn't mean, you know, they're bad kids. We recruit great culture. Our locker room's awesome. But you can tell pretty quickly, we like to say, if they got the dog in them or not. You know, and that's something, if you don't have it, it's very tough to teach someone how to have that mentality of like, you know, as soon as we step in these lines, it's about to be a scrap. And I think our staff has done a really good job realizing that if they don't have that, you know, I'll still coach them hard and I'll love on them, but it's tough for me to coach teams that don't have that grittiness to them. And those are the type of kids we're trying to bring in.
But Luke, man, I have it bad, brother. I don't want to lose it Uno and spades and dominoes.
I'm the same way, man.
I don't want to lose anything. I don't care what it is. I don't want to lose. So I have that bad, man, even to this day. I don't want to lose it in anything.
you know, it's funny. My wife and I, we like to play cards, and we're introducing some games to our kids. And my oldest daughter is 8, about to turn 9, and she is a terrible loser. I mean, a terrible loser. She's a really bright girl, really smart. But when she loses, I mean, she can't handle it. And then I have to teach her, like, you know, how to win and lose and how to have respect. But my wife is looking at me like she's just like you. Like you can't stand to lose. It doesn't matter what you will fight and claw. It doesn't matter what it is. You are going to try to beat everyone. It doesn't matter. Ping pong, video game, it doesn't matter. Line them up. And I love to see that. I hate to see it in my kid, but I love to see it because they have that competitive. The genetics is crazy. They had, she loses a game of Uno, you think the world's going to end, you know? But it's, again, those are the qualities we look for when we recruit kids and build teams. Just that, like, almost psycho competitive nature. It doesn't matter if it's a shooting drill. It doesn't matter if it's a sprint. It doesn't matter if it's a game, a practice, a scrimmage. Like, you are trying to beat everyone. And when you have that, that competitive nature is to me, it's contagious. And if you don't have it, you stick out like a sore thumb.
100%, man. And Luke, I see you got a lot of young guys on your roster, and you can't develop. Thank God that you already have anybody's love you to worry about losing guys, really, for like others, neighbors have to worry about that. But the fact that it's 5 and 5 is going to help you get talented young guys and consider them on letting me develop you for a year or two. Then you have 3 years or so to play and showcase your skills and hopefully go to the NBA and hopefully you'll play in Europe and have a long career in this great game of basketball.
No question. I do think experience still wins, especially at our level. Like, you got to have some guys that have been through it. You got to have some guys because you got to think how much you develop from 18 to 22. Some of these guys are 23, 24 years old. I think we have a really good blend of having some older guys that have, you know, gone to the NCAA tournament. Anthony Robinson, been all SEC defensive team. I think he was preseason player of the year on defense in the SEC. But he's done it at a high level. And a guy like, you know, Sebastian Rancic, a Slovakian kid, 6'10", 6'11", out of Colorado, 13-5. Like, he's produced at the highest level. You got, you know, Cam Taylor and Sean Abaya, former McDonald All-American. Like, you got a core of older, you know, guys, sophomore, junior, seniors. But then you have these freshmen coming in, all top 100 kids. And I told all of them, if I told our staff, if we don't feel like they can step in from day one and contribute, right, we shouldn't recruit them. I don't want guys to come here and sit the bench for two or three, because we'll technically just develop them for someone else and they'll eventually leave. We want guys that can come in and contribute from day one, that as they contribute, we develop. And I think we hit a home run on our recruiting class, man. Like we have some guys from day one that will have an impact. And a lot of these guys we have on multi-year deals, which is awesome. They understand, like, you're coming in from day one. I need you to produce, but you still have this much to grow, and we're going to help you get there. And to have that core group of guys that you can build with year over year, I think is something a lot of schools are missing right now. Just with the way the system's set up, it's like, if you get good enough, well, then you just transfer to somewhere else and get paid way more. If you get really good, you go to the pros. And if you're bad enough, the coach might not want you to stay. And so there's a constant flux of, like, man, we only got two or three guys coming back. Like, if you can up that to five, six, seven guys on a roster, and then you can really build with a core of guys that know, you know, how our program operates, how we compete every day, how we practice, I just think it's priceless, man.
No doubt. That continuity piece is so very, very important. And I want to ask you about continuity in a sense. How is it cool during this time to be able to build those bonds with the guys? Because, you know, you haven't given out minutes yet. You haven't, nobody's out of rotation yet. Everybody's happy still. So how is it cool this time to really build those bonds and build that chemistry? So when these things do happen, when those meetings you have to have in your office with these guys one-on-one about playing time and how I get on the court happen, how is it cool to have that this time of year just to be able to be brothers and enjoy some other company down there in Florida?
Yeah, that's what the summertime and the off season is about, man. You got to come in and get better every day. You got to really push yourself. A lot of minutes are earned in the summer. So you just by the way, and the guys can see it, the way guys work and who's the leader, who might be more of a follower. I never promise anyone a starting spot. I never promise anyone minutes when I'm recruiting them. But I tell them I'm going to play the guys that can help me win games. And the more you produce, the more you'll play. That's just is common knowledge. But I can't sit up here and promise you you're going to start and play 30 minutes a game, because if you don't produce, you're going to be on the bench with me. And so it's really cool to watch that process take out in real time over the summer, and then obviously working into the fall when you start gearing up for real practices. But what you said is the most important thing. And if there's one thing you can get out of the summer outside of the work and the sweat and growing on the court, it's the bond and the chemistry off the court. You know, there's a lot of different names for it. Some people call it culture. Some people call it just relationship building. To me, the best teams, just take any team in any sport, the best teams are usually the closest. Not always. Sometimes talent just wins out. But usually that bond you form off the court with your teammates carries over to on-court production. And especially in a team sport, if you don't trust the guys next to you, it's going to be really hard to win at the level we want to win. And the only way to earn that trust and gain that trust is to spend time with each other. And so this summer has been awesome, man. At least once a week, usually multiple times a week, we're getting together as a team, sometimes with the staff, sometimes without the staff, but cookouts at my house, going bowling, playing pickleball, like just doing stuff as a team off the court to really form those relationships and form those bonds and get to know each other, get to know each other's stories, what motivates you, what's your background, how's your family. Because again, you get in the heart of the season when your back's against the wall and you're on the road at Duke. If you look to the right of you and you don't know the guy you're suiting up with, it's going to be a problem. And to me, that's what's really special about this group. They have that chemistry already, and we're in July. And so every coach in America is optimistic right now. If you're not, you're probably in trouble. So I'm really optimistic about this team. I really like our guys, but I've really enjoyed over the 6 to 8 weeks in the summertime working together, watching those relationships grow and form those bonds that are definitely going to help us later in the year.
The last three questions are from my interns from Georgia State. They got two more weeks with me before they go back to their regular lives, but they have three questions for you. And the first question they have for you, Luke, is this. With guys now earning RevShare NIL, how do you help them with financial literacy and financial management so they don't blow up through all their money, understanding now that there are 1099s and there are tax on the money that they're earning?
Yeah, it's one of the first conversations we have before the first check hits. We bring them all in, explain, you know, hey, there's this thing called the IRS and they are coming. whether you like it or not. But we bring in professionals. So we bring in a couple different wealth management groups, some that I've had relationships with, some that, you know, through our network at Florida State, we have relationships with. So we bring a couple wealth management people, a couple CPAs in, to just break it down with our guys. Like, hey, you don't have to go with us. You don't have to invest with us, but let's explain how this works, right? You guys get this money in, got to pay taxes on it. You guys should all have a budget. Don't go blow your check every time it comes in on stuff that depreciates in value. You need to learn how to save. You need to learn how to invest. So just an introduction of financial literacy to our guys, I think, is one of the most important things we can help with. I tell all of our kids' parents and agents and people, I'm never going to be someone's, you know, quote unquote dad. But I do have to take on some of that responsibility when these young men play for me, just like Leonard Hamilton did for me. You know, I'd call Leonard Hamilton my second father all the time because he helped me in so many different ways outside of basketball. You know, how to treat people, how to respect people, how to look people in the eyes, how to build relationships, financially, how to take care of your business. All of those things, that ball is going to stop bouncing at some point. And these guys need to be set up for life, and they need to be set up for success. Some of these guys are making like real, real money. And if you just blow through it, you're just creating habits that are going to be detrimental for your entire life. And on the flip side, if you learn how to take care of your money, if you learn how to invest, if you learn how to budget properly, you can set yourself up and your family up for a long time. And so it's one of the things our staff does. And I don't know what other schools are doing. I hope they're doing the same thing, but our staff does an incredible job sitting down with these guys very quickly of like, don't go buy the Mercedes with the first check. Like, we need to get you set up. We'll figure out the cars and, you know, everyone wants a nice chain and we'll figure that out. Everyone wants their shoes and all their the tint and the wraps on the cars and the blink. Like, we'll figure that out. You got to set yourself up first before you can go spend on the stuff you want.
And second one I have for you is this: what is your favorite part of your job outside of the basketball piece?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of favorites. And now this is a little unusual because I played here. And my wife was an athlete here. Like, I grew up a Florida State fan, so it means a little bit more to me. I think one of the big things that I love, and this is just my personality in general, I love, you know, building relationships and talking with people. I could talk basketball and sports and football all day long. And that's why every time you call, I'm on here. I love doing this, but it's special for me in town, in Tallahassee, a place I love, a place, you know, I built my life, met my wife here, to just go around, go out to eat, to a nice restaurant, go get coffee, you know, outside of campus, and just talk with people. That's the coolest thing for me, the excitement around this town, about what we're building specifically with basketball. But then to have my family grow up in this atmosphere is the coolest thing. To watch, you know, my three, almost four-year-old son last year go to his first football game and watch his eyes light up as the planes flew over, you know, for the national anthem. Like, those are the priceless experiences as a father that you just can't replicate anywhere else. And so that's probably my favorite part of the job, just being back in Florida, in Tallahassee. A lot of my career before this, I played professionally overseas and in the minor leagues. All of my coaching experience was on the West Coast, you know, with Golden State, with Phoenix Suns, with Sacramento. So to be back on the East Coast, in Florida, in the South, and especially a place I love, is so special to me. And then the second part, and I touched on a little bit, to have an impact on young men becoming men, you know, that's something that all of our teammates, we talk about the impact Leonard Hamilton had on us, to set us up for life, you know, to what's important. This basketball thing is really important because it's a livelihood thing, you know, and we all love the game, you know, we love to compete. But again, eventually that ball stops bouncing, and your character, how you're built, what kind of husband are you going to be? What kind of father are you going to be? Like, those are the things that are important in life. And to have that impact on these young men, you have it a little bit in the NBA. A lot of those dudes are still young coming up and they get drafted. But for the most part, I was coaching guys that were around the same age as me, and they already had most of what they had figured out. They had wives and kids just like I did. So just that different timeline to coach these young men has been really rewarding for myself.
And last one they have for you is, Luke, is this. If you wasn't a head basketball coach, what would your career path be?
That's a good question. It would be difficult for me not to do something in sports. I'd probably be in the front office somewhere. If sports was totally out of it, man, I don't know. I actually tried one of the off seasons where I got hurt and had a long off season. I did some medical sales with one of our former players here. He's a super successful guy, has his own, a couple of own companies. I worked for him in medical sales and did pretty well. But I did not enjoy it because it wasn't sports. And you can do it. You can make a really good living doing it. But I did it for a couple months with him, and I had a blast. It was something new, and you know, you're in there selling stuff to doctors and going to meet with people. It wasn't hard. I would probably run some type of business. I've always, you know, at some point I want to either open like a small restaurant, lounge, or a coffee shop. Cause again, I love bringing people together in a good environment and talking with people in the community. So something up that alley, run some sort of business or some sort of restaurant or lounge, in town and have a nice little spot to hang out.
We're up the same idea, Luke, because I'm invested in 2 barbershops here in Atlanta.
There you go.
So, yes.
I love it. Hey. I just got cut this morning, man. Hey, that's one thing, man. I had this guy who ran a barbershop, and then he had a speakeasy in the back. Like it was like a secret speakeasy in the back. It was a cool spot. And I was like, this is now, if you added like a sneaker store on the side, it would be hitting like all of my, you know, I love live music. I love sneakers and I love getting a clean cut every week. And so if you could somehow incorporate all of those things into one, I don't know if it would make any money, but I'll be happy.
Let me tell you about our plaza that we invested in, Luke. We have a cleaners next door, a gas station, the barbershop and salon and nail shop, all in the same plaza.
I love it. I love it. That's
on the west
great,
side
man.
Of Atlanta. So that's what's one of the other barbershops is there, CAU and Morehouse. So
I love it.
It's easy money because people's traffic there. And we give college kids discounts for haircuts. So what's your ID? And so for me, going from the football field to the radio game now, been successful enough so I can invest now using my degree. So like you said, the ball does stop bouncing. At least I'm still in the sports with the radio thing and with the barbershop. Yeah. I'm right down the street from Clark and Morehouse. So it's right there. So
that's,
man,
incredible.
It's great.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's incredible.
Yes, indeed. Well, Luke, man, thank you for your time today as always, brother. I think that's my interest questions as well because I'm trying to show them the way, man. I'm trying to give them some hope to get to where I am today, Georgia State. So hopefully they did pretty good with your questions for you, man. Hopefully they'll enjoy this experience they've had this summer with me the next 2 weeks.
Great questions, man. And like always, I appreciate you having me on, man. I really do.
And tell the fool to do it again real soon. I hope we're talking again in March when you go to the big dance.
There we go. Go Noles, baby.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku. As well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3 Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.